they appear in one form or another in over 40 of the 66 books of the Bible. And in those 40 plus books, there are some 700 references to them. The strange thing is, though, that while we normally think of them as four-footed creatures, nearly one-fifth of the references, over 150 of them, are talking about the two-footed kind. Well, if you've been awake during the first part of the service, it will be obvious to you what they are and why they can be both four-footed and two-footed. They are, of course, sheep, the four-footed variety being beasts of the field, and the two-footed kind being human beings. More specifically, the Bible speaks of sheep as human beings who belong to God. And so this morning, we're going to look at the fact that a Christian is not just a sheep, but that a Christian is a sheep in God's family. Or rather, a Christian is a sheep in God's flock. When we were looking at the Christian as a living stone, I gave you a text, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And this morning I return to that chapter for my text, which we've already looked at this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Now, at first sight, a sheep doesn't seem to have much going for it, does it? When we think of sheep, we don't think of very much, except perhaps a nice Sunday lunch or a nice woolly coat. The world might well look at a sheep grazing in the field, seemingly oblivious of what is going on in the rest of the field, let alone what is going on in the rest of the world or anywhere else. And some people may well look at Christians and say something similar. Look at them sitting in their churches, oblivious probably to anybody else in the church, and certainly oblivious to the rest of the world. They say they get into a church and are almost oblivious of what is going on in it, let alone outside. But nothing, of course, ought to be further from the truth. Now, as Christians, we too might say the sheep is like many Christians, and that when it's first born, it's frisky and playful. You go out in the spring, or whenever they're born these days, because sometimes there's two, perhaps three lambing seasons. You go out and you see the lamb. You see the lamb being frisky. You see the lamb being playful. And then perhaps as the years go by, it just seems to walk. If it walks, it's usually just got its head down eating. Or sometimes if it knows there's some food somewhere else, it might start to run. Christians can be a bit like that, can't they? newborn Christians are very often prepared to give themselves and to give themselves wholeheartedly to the Lord. But as the years go on, we can so easily settle down into a somewhat boring and mundane routine. Even our church going or church coming just falls into a pattern. It's as though we're following the other sheep to the chapel on Sunday, or perhaps also into the midweek service. Instead of that playfulness, instead of that vibrancy, instead of that enthusiasm, we're just, as it were, following the crowd, going through some boring routine. The first question that has to be asked this morning is, are we like this? Is there still that enthusiasm? Is there still that desire to do things? Yeah, we may be getting on a bit, but is there still that enthusiasm? Well, we start our look at the Christian sheep by looking at what I've called the sheep's symbol. The sheep's symbol. From a very early date, we find that sheep were the symbol of God's people. For Moses says to the Lord in Numbers chapter 27 and verses 16 to 17, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over his community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So from this very early moment, there is this thought that God's people are like a flock of sheep. And Moses saw that a people without a leader were like a sheep without a shepherd. A position the prophet Micaiah saw in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 17. He says, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd." And although both Moses and Micaiah saw Israel as a people without a shepherd, this was not actually strictly true, was it? It wasn't true in one sense, because God was their shepherd. As we see from a verse such as Psalm 80 and verse 1, where the psalmist says, "Hear us, O shepherd of Israel." That is God. And this is confirmed by such verses as Psalm 78 and verse 2, where we are told that God brought his people out of Egypt like a flock and led them like sheep through the desert. Psalm 100 and verse 3, where the people were reminded they were his people, sheep of his pasture. And Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 31, which we read this morning, "You, my flock, the flock of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, says the Lord." In other words, God was their shepherd. He was the shepherd of his people, and they were his flock, the sheep of his pasture. So what does Moses mean? What does Micaiah mean when he says, "I saw Israel without a shepherd"? He means this: that God sent somebody to be responsible for sheep. God, if you like, gave us an under shepherd. Yes, God was the shepherd of his people. They were his flock, the sheep of his pasture. But he chose to hand that responsibility for them to what we might call under shepherds, as we see in both the Old and New Testaments. We saw this, didn't we, in Ezekiel chapter 34 that I read earlier. And we see it in the New Testament in the office of pastor and elder, shepherds of God's people. Now, although there were and still are many under-shepherds, there was both in the Old Testament and the New Testament one in particular, a very special under-shepherd in both Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament book of the Psalms, we find these words in Psalm 78 and verses 70 to 72. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them. So it's quite clear here, isn't it? Here is God taking this shepherd, David, from his sheep and putting them as his shepherd of his people, Israel. David was a particular shepherd for a particular people at a particular time for a particular reason. The same can be said of the special under-shepherd of the New Testament, who was, of course, Jesus Christ. We should look a little closer at him in a moment. But in the meantime, there's one more thing we need to notice under this heading. And that is what we saw earlier, and that is that the sheep of God's pasture had gone astray. We've been thinking about two-footed sheep as being God's people. But there is also another two-footed sheep, and he comes into the picture as we note that the other two-footed sheep had gone astray. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, we read what Peter reminds us of in 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. Peter wrote, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Isaiah wrote this, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." On other occasions too, we see this same point being made. But here it comes in the middle of God's action to combat it. It speaks in that same verse 6 of one upon whom the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all. He is, as we're told in verse 7, one who would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, says Isaiah. But wait a minute. Here is another lamb. Here is another sheep. And this sheep is led like a lamb to the slaughter. And if you turn to Isaiah 53, you'll discover that it's much more. But what Isaiah 53 is basically telling us is this, that because we had gone astray from God, he had to send his son, the lamb mentioned here, to die, to take our punishment, so that we might be made right with him. You see, in a very real way, Jesus is not only the shepherd, he is also the sheep. The point is, do you know him? Do you know him as the one who took your infirmities, who carried your sorrows, who was stricken, smitten, afflicted, pierced for your transgressions, crushed for your iniquities, punished that you might have peace, wounded so that you might be healed? This all comes out in Isaiah 53. Do you know that Christ died to take away your sins? And if so, have you called upon God to forgive you? Are you indeed among those here of whom it can be said, for I was like a sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of my soul? It's important you can, for only when you can you consider yourself to be a Christian. And then once you're a Christian, you can know, you can move on to know the sheep's significance. What is the sheep's significance? Or in other words, why is a Christian like a sheep? Well, if you'll excuse the pun, I have five U's for you. The first U is that a sheep is unsoiled. When God gave instructions to Moses in Leviticus chapter 11 and verses 1 to 8, sheep were among those clean animals that the people of Israel could eat. They were acceptable to God. And in the same way, those who are clean or unsoiled because they've been made so by the blood of Jesus Christ are also acceptable to him. They are also unsoiled in the sense that by their very nature, they prefer the green pastures and still waters to the garbage and dirty waters. And we as Christians are to prefer holiness to iniquity. My second U is something that may sound strange. My second U is that a sheep understands. What does a sheep understand, you might ask? Well, what I mean is the sheep knows or understands who its shepherd is. You may have seen in real life or on your television screens a dog rounding up the sheep. But this wasn't how it was done in Bible times, was it? Then the shepherd not only knew his sheep, he was also known by them. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? Jesus tells us in John 10 that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. The sheep may have been in the fold with many other sheep. But when in the morning their shepherd called, they knew his voice and they followed him. They wouldn't follow anybody else. They only followed the right shepherd. The sheep understands that. And as Christians, we are to know, we are to understand this too. We are to know that the voice of the true shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. We sadly live in a day when there are many, many voices clamoring for our attention. Many voices coming at us from all sorts of angles and places, and some of them even purport to come from God himself. We must listen carefully, and we must test what we're hearing with what we find in God's word and try to ensure that we're not following a stranger. That is so easy to do. So we must be attuned to the voice of God. We must know what we might expect to hear from the voice of God. How do we know what we might hear from the voice of God? Well, we know that we'll only hear from the voice of God what is in accord with his word. We won't hear anything else. So if it's something that's totally against his word, it's not the voice of God at all. We need to understand the voice of God and let that voice be a comfort to us, that just as a shepherd knew each one of his sheep, so Christ knows each one of us who are his. The third U is urge. The sheep has an urge. What is that urge? Well, in actual fact, the sheep has a desperate need for a shepherd. While the vast majority of animals can fend for themselves, the sheep, in some respects, somehow has a need for a shepherd. On the whole, as we look at a sheep, we can look at it as a fairly defenseless creature, can't we? It's easily afraid and quickly led astray. And we can see this, can't we, in David's story of the lion and the story of the bear and the story Jesus told of that lost sheep. Sheep need someone to guide and guard them, or they will get into trouble. And like it or not, we too, as Christians, need a shepherd. We need the good shepherd, and we need that earthly under-shepherd, the pastor or elder, to guide and guard in order that we don't go astray. And then fourthly, U is for useful. A sheep is useful. The shepherd didn't look after the sheep for fun. He didn't look after it just for a hobby. He didn't even look at it in the main to kill it. Meat in those times was a luxury. And although sheep were sometimes killed for Passover and festive occasions, and sometimes for sacrifices, the main reason for keeping sheep was for their wool and for their young. Sheep's useful. And in a similar way, God does not save us simply to put us out to pasture. He saves us in order that we might be useful to him. We are to exercise the gifts he gives us and perform those good works that he's prepared for us to do. And then finally, my fifth U is united. The sheep are united. They flock together. Generally speaking, sheep don't live in isolation, for it's in their nature to want to be with a flock. An isolated sheep is, in actual fact, both a danger to itself and a danger to the rest of the flock. It's firstly a danger to itself because it's more likely to be attacked when away from the main flock. Or it may get completely lost. Secondly, it's a danger to others, for they might follow it into danger. As Christians, we too should have a nature that wants us to be united, to be part of the flock. For like the sheep, there is so much danger in isolation. So we've seen already in this series, the Christian is a stone in God's building, a child in God's family. And now we're to see that we are to be a sheep in God's flock. We are part of something bigger. We're not to be on our own. And then finally, let's look at the sheep's shepherd. There is so much that could be said here, but I need to limit myself and to briefly mention something about three descriptions that we have of Christ, the sheep's shepherd, that we find in the New Testament. The first is Christ's own description. We find in John chapter 10 and verse 11, but he calls himself the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, the shepherd par excellence. We think of David as he kills the bear, as he kills the lion, and no doubt fought off so many other foes of his sheep. We think of him as being a good shepherd. But there is a sense in which he was a good shepherd, small g, small s. But Christ is the good shepherd, capital G, capital S, for he has done something that David never did and never could do, and that was to die for the sheep. We think of David killing the giant enemy of God's sheep, Goliath. But Jesus fought and defeated the greatest enemy of the sheep, who is the devil. He is the shepherd who has not only died for his sheep, but also been raised for them as well. He's the shepherd who will do all in his power, not only to keep the flock he has already, but also to draw into the flock those who have not yet come. He is the shepherd who never loses a sheep. For he tells us in John 10, verses 27 to 29, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." He is the sheep's good shepherd. And secondly, as the writer to Hebrews describes him, he is the great shepherd. He is the great shepherd who not only died for us, but who also lives for us. He is the great shepherd who now in heaven is seeking our good by equipping us with all that we require in order to do those things that are pleasing to him. And then thirdly, Peter, as he writes in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, tells us that he is the chief shepherd. This chief shepherd has not only died for us and been raised for us, but one day is coming to again to give his flock a crown of glory that will never fade away and take them to be with him in heaven. Christian is a sheep in God's flock. It is a flock that can only be entered by those who have come through the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was slain for them. Are you a part of the flock? Those who are in his flock must be unsoiled, cleansed and clean, understand, know the voice of their shepherd, have the urge to be close to the shepherd, that it might guard and guide, be useful in his service, and be united, be a part of the flock. Does this describe you? Those who are in this flock do not have just a shepherd. They have a good shepherd, a great shepherd, a chief shepherd. Is this your shepherd? The Christian is a sheep in God's flock. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Does this verse describe you? I'm going to sing a song in conclusion that's found in both Mission Praise and Christian Hymns. Christian Hymns, it's number 656. Mission Praise, 649. And it's "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, Whose Goodness Faileth Never."